Praise the Lord. Well, I want to be on fire for God. And, you know, revival only comes when you pay the price, doesn't it? It's wonderful to be here. Appreciated the preaching that we've heard just a few minutes ago. And last night was just so challenging. And then today was as good as I've ever heard. This is my 31st camp meeting this year so far. And the preaching you've heard these past couple services has been as good as I've heard anywhere all year long. And I'm grateful to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation to come back up here. I really enjoyed being with you folks in revival back in February. And glad for Brother Brent Gabbard being here now. And for the church here at Bible Holiness. I first come here in May of 06 and just made friends with you ever since. And I appreciate that. If you have your Bibles, let's go to the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis chapter 35. Genesis 35. I want to talk this evening on a subject, and I need the help of God. I've prayed about this meeting for some time now, and just never could get away from this passage of Scripture in Genesis 35, and I pray you help me as I try to preach here this evening. All right, let's read Genesis 35 and 1. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother. Then Jacob said unto his household and to all that were with him, put away the strange gods that are among you, and be clean, and change your garments. And let us arise and go up to Bethel, and I will make there an altar unto God who answered me in the day of my distress and was with me the way which I went. And they gave unto Jacob all the strange gods. Isn't it amazing the kind of strange things we pick up day to day? They gave unto Jacob the strange gods which were in their hands. Notice that, right in their own possession. And all the earrings which were in their ears. And Jacob hid them under the oak which was by Shechem. And they journeyed. And the terror of God was upon the cities that were round about them, and they did not pursue after the sons of Jacob. Verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel, and all the people that were with him. Verse 7, and he built there an altar. And he built there an altar. And something always happens when you build altars to God. The next phrase says, and called the place El Bethel. And called the place El Bethel. Verse number one is really what I want to talk from this evening, where God says to Jacob to arise and go back to Bethel and dwell there. I want you to get up from where you're at, Jacob, and journey back to a place you haven't visited in 20 years now. And whenever you get there, I want you to stay there. So here's what I want to preach about this evening, if you would help me and the Lord would help me as well. I want to preach on stay in this house. More specifically, for Bible Holiness, stay in this church. Father, I thank you for all the great things, all the wonderful things that you've done for us so far in this meeting. But God, I need your help to preach tonight. God, we really, really need your presence to hover over us once again and to help us one more time. God, I pray that somebody in this house tonight that's been thinking about leaving this place and this church and in this vicinity that we're in, that God, they don't leave this house where you've commanded them to stay and dwell as you did Jacob. Father, we need your help tonight. In your name we ask these things, and the congregation says, amen. Stay in the house. Stay in this house. Whenever I was a kid, we was playing a roundhouse game of t-ball with some neighbor boys when I was just a little tyke. And so you know how kind of children do. They get together in a big way, and we was playing baseball. And so it was my turn up to bat, and so I went up there and hit a line drive, got to second base. Pretty happy about that. And so there was a fella a lot bigger than me, came up behind me, and he really could hit the ball really far. And so he hit that ball sky high over the outfielder's head. And so you do what you do in baseball. You start running around the bases. So I run around there from second base, run around there to third base, and all of the friends that was on my team was hollering at me, David, run home, run home, run home. And so I literally ran home to my mom's house. Ran across the street to the front door of my mom's house and threw up my hands. And all them guys, what does this guy think he's doing? Who in the world is this guy? He ran back home to his mama. We told him to run home. Well, didn't want to play baseball with them guys anyways. Last time I ever played with them. Run home. Well, that's the same thing that God was telling Jacob. Jacob, it's been 20 years since you've been in my presence. It's been 20 years, Jacob, since you've experienced revival. It's been 20 years since you wrestled with me until I gave you a blessing. I tell you what God told Jacob to do is the same thing we must do tonight. We must go back to the place where God spoke to us. We've got to get back to a place where God can deal with us, where His glory can talk to us, where God can meet with us. Jacob, go home to Bethel. I suppose that going back to Bethel to Jacob was just like it was with the burning bush with Moses. Whenever Moses had ran to the land of Midian, and there he thought that God could never find him. There in the midst of that wilderness, God spoke through a burning bush, and Moses came upon the place where God's glory was. Now notice what Moses does here. The Bible said that Moses took his shoes off as the Lord commanded him to do, because the ground he stood on was holy ground. Can I tell you that whenever God's presence is around, it's always a holy place to be. It's not a park. It's not a picnic. But when God's presence is there, His house is a holy house. Moses, this place is a holy place. Not only was it likened unto the burning bush in Moses, but I suppose that Jacob going back to Bethel was just like the vision of how holy God was in Isaiah the 6th chapter. You remember what happens there? In the year that King Uzziah died, Isaiah looks up to heaven and he sees the Lord high and lifted up. Not only is God's place a place of holiness, and it's a holy place, but it's a place where He is high and lifted up. When Isaiah seen that, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He said, Lord, I am a man of unclean lips and dwell amidst among a bunch of people that's full of unclean lips as well. And the Lord brought down an angel from heaven and took one of the coals off of the altar and anointed Isaiah that day. You know what I say for us here in this meeting, these next few nights we have? God, send the fire off the altar from heaven and saturate this place with Your holy presence. God, would You anoint us again? God, would You give us power again? God, would You give us glory again? It's a holy place. Jacob, going back to Bethel. Now, I want to read something to you. I got a little bit of time here this evening, and I don't want to take too much time. But a few years back, I guess I was probably 8 or 9 years old, and me and Brother Collins was preaching a meeting up in southern Indiana. And so we got up there, just me and him. I was just a little kid. And I could tell what was going on in that church as soon as me and Brother Collins walked in there. I was sitting up there with him, beside him on the platform, and folks back there just laughing and talking, not paying a bit of attention in the world to what was going on in the service. Didn't really even care to be there. Sometimes it kind of looks like you. Yeah. And so Brother Collins does what he does best. Just tells it like it is. He preached that evening, "My house shall be called the house of prayer."
Preach to them about how holy God's house is. How you ought to reverence God's house. How much of a holy place it's at, because it's His house. Now, he preached that to them, and they didn't take him serious. Now, I went back there a few years later when I was about 16 years old. Went back there to preach, and no longer did they sing the songs that you and I are about to sing here this evening. No longer did they sing songs out of the Redback hymnal, like I Love So Dear. No longer did they have any kind of standard on their pulpit. But rather, it looked like somebody had been rolling around in a tackle box and picked up everything like a giant magnet up there singing some crazy song off of a wall. My house shall be called the house of prayer. God's house has always been holy because He is holy. Now, let me read this to you. I was preaching about a month and a half ago for Brother Stacy Holden down at Shreveport. And I stayed up around Texarkana one day. And I picked up a copy of the Texarkana Gazette, Saturday, August 24th, 2013. This article is entitled, Candy Crush Congregations. Now, this is pretty good stuff right here. Tyler Wollenstein might be loath to admit it, but sometimes he's not paying attention in church. He will happily confess that he's not the only one either. The 31-year-old churchgoer has more than once sat in the pew of his church and let his mind wander. When that happens, he pulls out his iPhone 4. That would be this gadget right here. Pulls out his iPhone 4 and sometimes plays his puzzle game. I ain't got a clue what this is. 1 to 50. Or maybe he texts his friends across the aisle. Quote, I take the time in church to catch up with people I haven't contacted in a long time. He said, I text friends and family members and other people. And the thing about it is, I'm not the only one that does it. Why? This is a direct quote right here. Quote, I see people play games all the time in church. I've seen them even watch football games while the pastor was preaching. I've seen them play bingo where they cross off things that the bishop may say, like testimony or praise the Lord. Sometimes many can be seen accessing Facebook, checking sports scores, catching up on news, or playing a quick game. Almost every church has its offenders. I love this right here. I love this. One church girl was so focused playing the puzzle game, quote, Candy Crush, and I ain't got a clue what that is either. I give up video games when the Lord sanctified me, and that's how I got the Holy Ghost. You'll sit up all night long playing Call of Duty, PlayStation 3, Xbox 360, and wonder why you ain't got the power of God. On his phone, he was so busy playing this game, Candy Crush, that he didn't notice the meeting was over with. And when he got done, finished his game, looked up, the lights were turned off, the doors were locked, and the security alarm set. Jacob, God's house. God's house. Bible Holiness Church. God's church. This ain't Brother Brent Dabbert's church. This is God's church. This ain't your church. This is God's church. His house is a holy house. Somebody shout amen. It's a holy place. It's a serious house. where a serious God meets serious people with serious problems, but gives them serious solutions. I tell you, God's house is that atmosphere where the Lord ought to be able to work in on your ordinary Thursday night services. God's house is a place where the Lord comes down and meets with us and talks with us. It's His house. I gotta hurry. Notice their place of pursuit. And God said unto Jacob, notice who's talking here. This is not the work of a man. This is the work of God Himself. And God said unto Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. Go back to the place where you lost my power at. You know what the best thing to do is? Whenever you lose something, whenever I lose something, I go back and try to figure out where the last place I seen it was. That's the same thing you need to do here in this meeting this week. When's the last time you had a testimony? When's the last time you shouted to God? When's the last time you shouted under the power and the presence of God? When's the last time that you felt His power? Go to Bethel, Jacob. So Jacob does. He hears the word of the Lord. Not only does he hear the word of the Lord, but he heeds the word of the Lord. And Jacob gathers all of his house together, and they arise, and they begin to journey up to Bethel. Now, I ain't got time to go into all this evening. This is a lot of preaching right here to do, and I hope I can get through it all, and God will help us. But while Jacob and his family are traveling, you know, Jacob, whose name means deceiver, supplanter, cheater, trickster, all of those synonyms to the name of Jacob, is quite amazing, because 20 years back, Jacob had an experience with God where God blessed him, and Jacob wasn't the same old Jacob after that experience. Can I tell you, when you have a real, legitimate experience with God, you're not going to go back to your ways like you was before. You're not going to go back to the same old crowd that you ran around with before, because you've had a change of name and God's made you into a new creature in Christ Jesus. So when Jacob gets his life straightened up, and when Jacob stops his sinning, and here he is with all of his family now, just when you get your life figured out, it seems that your kids start having problems now. And so Jacob and his family begin to journey. They're heading toward Bethel. They come to the place in the village of Shechem. And these men of Shechem, they want to marry into Jacob's house. They want to marry into Jacob's family. Now, there's some major problems here. One of them I'm going to make a big point about. One of the problems was that Jacob's household was under the name of the household of God. And the village and the men of Shechem were under the house of the devil. And so you know what that means? That means that the folks from the house of God don't have no business marrying some folks over here at the devil's house. I don't think, hey, it's a little bit quiet around here for you service tonight, but I just got a feeling that it would be good common sense for me looking for a wife that my best bet would not be to go to the post office and to marry some woman whose picture is down there hanging at the post office with a wanted sign underneath of it. Yeah. Now, you think that's really funny, but I had a good friend of mine just recently here in the past few days. He was asking me a question. I never thought nobody in their right mind would ask me a question like he asked me. David, I'm saved. I'm in church. You know my mom and dad. I've been brought up in church my whole life. But there's this girl that I've been dating, and I have been having to give her money for drugs for the past year and a half of our relationship. And last week I had to bail her out of jail. What do I do? Well, I'm so glad you asked, because I have a good answer for you. break up with her. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I tell you, these men of Shechem, they came to the household of Jacob. They say, Jacob, we know what you've been in the past. We know the cheater and the trickster and the deceiver that you are. And we know that you're under this name, Jehovah God. But if we could just pay you a little bit of money, you'll let us marry into the family, won't you? Yeah, 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 yeah. Well, my daughter... she's a good girl, but we never had much money. And I think if she marries this boy that's playing college football, who's going to make a lot of money, he'll take good care of her. You'll sign your kids up for every sports team under the name of this earth, thinking that they're going to get some kind of big scholarship and they'll be taken care of. I tell you, you're doing business with the wrong folks down at Shechem. I just got back from Oklahoma. It got real quiet on this one. I was kind of coming down the line one night. And out west, I don't know if there's any Okies here or not, but out west there, they've got these things called rodeos. And so I got to preaching against a rodeo a few days ago. And man, did it get really, really quiet on that one. But I tell you one thing. You're doing business with the wrong folks if you're looking down at the rodeo or down at the Friday night lights watching them play football, or if you're at some kind of crazed atmosphere on a Saturday watching them play college sports. I tell you, what you need is to go back to Bethel. You need to run back home. Get back to the presence of God. Yeah. Back home, Jacob. Come to Shechem. These men of Shechem begin to try to cut a deal with Jacob. They want to marry into the family. Jacob said, No. I used to be that way before, but God's changed me. I had an experience with God 20 years ago, and I'm on my way back home to have another revival. I'm not making any deals with you. So Jacob gets his life straightened out. And it's at that moment when Jacob got his life straightened out that his children begin to go crazy. His boys say to their father, Daddy, you're old now. You got a few years on you here. You're not big enough and old enough to fight like you once did. Don't worry about it. We'll take care of them in a Shechem. We'll show them. So in the middle of the night, Jacob's children go about through the village of Shechem, and there was a great massacre. They killed most of the men there at Shechem. They come running back to their father and tell them about their what they thought was a glorious report. And Jacob says, don't you realize that you've cursed my entire house now? Don't you realize that all these other cities and all these other villages around, they're going to figure out what you boys have done? You've brought reproach on my house. I've got a feeling there's a lot of folks sitting in our churches that's not only bringing reproach on your house, but you're bringing reproach right on your church. I'm preaching on stay in this house, Jacob. Stay in this house, Jacob. Jacob begins to journey to Bethel. He's got these men of Shechem on his back. All of these fellas are coming out after Jacob and his household. And notice what Jacob does. Whenever the enemy is coming in like a flood and they're all about to take his head off and take his whole house under, notice what the Lord tells Jacob to do. Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel. And while you're going to Bethel, put away the strange gods that are among you. You want to know how to get the devil off of your back? You get rid of the devil's stuff that you're carrying around in your hands. Isn't it amazing? The things, the strange gods that you pick up along the way. No doubt Rachel had picked up that little god, that teraphim from Laban. No doubt they had picked up these little gods from those men at Shechem. No doubt they had picked up these strange vanities. And no doubt you've even made promises and vows to God. We'll never let a television in our house. And then when a sale goes up down at Best Buy, well, they let us make payments. We can still pay our tithes to Brother Gabbard and be all right. Yeah, you're picking up strange gods. You're picking up so much strange gods that you wouldn't get married with rings, but you've been walking around some strange group of people and you're putting on some strange gods. They had them right in their hands. They even put them in their ears. I'm a preaching to the church this evening. We've got to get rid of the strange gods among us. Get rid of the strange gods among us. That clock is moving fast. I was coming out here and I was talking to a fella, and we was messaging back and forth. He asked me where I was going to this week, and he was amongst us at one time. And I told him I'm heading up to preach a few nights there at the meeting at Brother Brent Gabbard's in Elkton. Brother Brent, he's at Elkton now? Yeah, he's at Elkton. You know, him and Brother John's been down there at Bond for years, preaching against televisions and preaching against rings and preaching against jewelry of all sorts. Yeah, they'll come around one day. And so I said, well, maybe I need to come around too. Because I preach against the same things they preach against. Even when it wasn't popular. Even when everybody else was letting it go on. David, you always did stand pretty hard against the rings and jewelry. And you even took a pretty hard stance against divorce and remarriage. Yeah, because I've got to get back to Bethel. I've got to get back to the house of God. Yesterday, as I was driving out here, after I talked to this fellow in this conversation, and Brother McDonald mentioned last night about Brother Collins going up there to Drying Road, riding in on a flat tire. I called him yesterday to check on his wife. Said Collins has cancer and not doing too well physically. And when I talked to him, he started singing a song while I was on the phone with him. And boy, it picked me up and just carried me over all the way here to Elkton. He starts singing, I'm gonna pray if I pray all by myself. I'm gonna stand if I have to stand alone. It'll be worth it to make it to glory if they don't go. I'm going anyways. And he told me about that verse he wrote whenever he was in the Philippines, riding back home on an airplane. Four strong winds blow hard against the tempest, and it seems like I'll never be able to fly again. But I'll mount up with the wings like an eagle, and I'll soar once again to Canaan's land. I'm gonna pray if I pray all by myself. I'm gonna stand if I have to stand alone. It'll be worth it to make it to glory. If you don't go, if you give up, if you drop by the wayside, I'm not giving up. I'm not turning around. I've got to get back to the house of God. I've got to get back to Bethel. Everybody else may go worldly, but you stand for God. Everybody else may give up in the youth group, but that don't give you an excuse to give up. You make it to the house of God. I got to wind this thing down. I hope I ain't taking too much time. Jacob gets back to Bethel. He gets back to Bethel. He journeys. The terror of God falls upon those men of Shechem. He journeys. He journeys and he makes it to Bethel. When he gets to Bethel, he builds an altar to the Lord. Something always happens when you build an altar to God, don't it? when he built this altar to God, he seen something he hadn't seen in 20 years. And something he seen 20 years ago, it was like he's never seen it before. You see, 20 years ago, he seen the angels upon the ladder of God. He seen the angels ascending and descending up and down off the ladder. He seen the beautiful church. He seen the beautiful padded pews that you have. He seen the beautiful carpet that you have. He sees the beautiful altar that was there. He sees the beautiful chandelier. He even hears the wonderful choir that's probably going to be singing around here tonight. He sees all that. But 20 years later, he sees something he's never seen before. You see, what the word Bethel means is house of God. 20 years ago, he's seen the house of God. But this time, on this occasion, he sees something that's more than the house of God. He says, I've seen El Bethel, which means the God of the house. I know this is the Bible Holiness Church, but I want to ask you a question. Do you know the God of the Bible Holiness Church? Do you know the God of this house? This is a beautiful building. This is a wonderful setting that you have. But I want to ask you, do you know the God of this church? Do you know the power of the God of this house? Do you know what he is able to do? Do you know the God of the house? Let me tell you, I've got to close with this. You know what happened around here just a few days ago? You know what happened? Somebody was driving down the road. Your brother, Brent, was driving down the road. And the God of the Bible Holiness Church walked in to the vehicle driving down the road. Because the God of this house heard the prayers from the people in this house. And the God of that house went into that vehicle, put Brent under conviction, and God saved him. Do you know the God of this camp meeting? Do you know the Holy Ghost baptizer? Do you know the God that sets people free? Do you know the God that liberates? Do you know the God that breaks chains? Do you know the God of the house? Lift your hands all over the building and give God a shout of praise. Thank God, thank God. Yes. You're the God of this house. You're the God of this house. Verse 16. So Jacob departed from Bethel. I've spent all this time and that clock's ticking, getting you to the house. And God's command was for Jacob. Jacob, once you get to Bethel, you stay in the house. You stay in the Bible Holiness Church. You don't leave. You stay right here. You stay in that youth group. You stay with that pastor. You stay with that man of God. You stay in the house. But here's what Jacob did, and this is my warning to you. So Jacob departed from Bethel. And when he departed from Bethel on his way to Ephratah, he got 1 mile from Ephratah. That's Old Testament for the town of Bethlehem. He comes 1 mile to his destination. And his wife began to be in hard labor and travail. And she brought forth a son. And she called him Benoni, which means son of my sorrow. You know what happens when you leave this house? You know what happens when you leave this house? You know what happens for the life of me. I can't figure out why when God told Jacob to stay there, he would leave the house. When he left, he had a baby of sorrow, Benoni. When you leave God and you leave the God of this house and you leave this house, you're walking into sorrow. Would you lift your hands one more time as I turn it back to the pastor? Ask God to help us around this place tonight.